The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Thank you for listening.
Together, if you really feel like you got the victory, come on, come on. You got to praise your way through some stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have the victory in Jesus. Amen. We truly have the victory in Jesus. Amen. So remain standing on your feet as we get ready to move into the word. Amen. 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 And amen. To all of our visitors, we say thank you for coming on today. We say thank you for coming on today. And it is our hope and it is our prayer that somebody has already said something to you to greet you in the name of Jesus. It is our hope and prayer that you have felt the Spirit of the Lord in this place. We don't think it's by accident that you are here, but we believe it's by divine providence that God directed you to this place to receive a healing or message or some encouragement. Amen. It's good to see Sister Betty Mays back in the house. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 I think I saw Sister Sealman in the house. Amen. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise for Sister Sealman in the house. Amen. God is a healer. And God can do anything but fail. The text this morning will come from the book of Acts. The book of Acts, we stand in honor of the reading of the word. Certainly it is, the Bible says, as when he opened up the book that they stood. Amen. And so that is what we want to do today. And so the backdrop for my text will come from Acts, the 27th chapter. However, I want to read Acts 28. Acts 28. I'm already looking. Let's look. We're going to talk about it, but there's some stuff that some of y'all going to have to shake off. Come on, somebody. There's some stuff that's got y'all snake bitten, and y'all going to have to shake it off. Sister was just singing her heart out. She said, break every chain, and there's some stuff that y'all got to shake off, and y'all don't recognize that there's some stuff that's got a hold of us, but we have the victory, but you got to act like you got the victory, and every now and then, because you have the victory, there's some stuff going on in your life that you can just shake it off. Come on, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. She said depression and downtroddenness, every chain. Amen. Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. Again, the backdrop comes from Acts chapter 27. The New King James Version of the Bible says, it says, now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Verse 4 says, So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, you know, folk talk when you in trouble. Come on, somebody. Folk talk when they see stuff hanging on you. They can see it hanging. And so they had a conversation. They said to one another, now they ain't saying to you. They talking to each other. They said, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea. You see, folk, they checking up on you. They know you've been through some stuff, and you might have come through one thing, but here comes another thing. So as a result of the other thing, they said, yet justice does not allow to live. Verse 5 says, but he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. Verse 6 says, however, come on, somebody. See, you can shout all day long. You can have a good day and have a smile on your face. There's some folk going to come at you and say, however. They were expecting that he would swell up. I done seen some folk get swole these past 24, 48 hours. Some folk done got swole. Expecting him, he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, They changed their minds. Sometimes you just got to hang on in there. They says they changed their minds and said that he was a God. This morning, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, I'm not just talking about 48 hours. This is bigger than that. I'm talking about down through the years, and I might be talking to somebody just on yesterday, maybe this morning. But with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject that it's going to take more than that. You may be seated in the presence of our God. It's going to take more than that. I don't know what your that is, but it's going to take more than that. Amen, 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 amen. My brothers and my sisters, it's important to understand that in all of our lives, amen, God has an amazing assignment on us. And with that assignment also comes anointing. See, too many folk trying to do stuff in and outside of the church. They got an assignment, but you need anointing. And because with the assignment, you need the anointing, because it's the anointing that's going to sustain us during assignment. When we look at the Apostle Paul, and you remember, it was just last week. If you weren't here last week, I implore you to get the message. We talked about Paul last week. Remember, this is the same Paul here in Acts 28 that persecuted the early Christians of the early church. But it was after Paul was converted that he then began to boldly proclaim the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, here's that Paul who once persecuted Christians, who now, after his conversion, is now speaking on behalf of Christ, and as a result, he is now being persecuted. I'm talking to somebody who said, you know, I think I didn't go through as much trouble before I was saved. Come on, somebody, y'all don't hear me in here. Then since I've been saved. Amen. Mm-hmm. But in this life, hear me today, in this life, if you choose to follow God's assignment, and as a result, you acknowledge that God has a call on your life, then you need to know it's not going to be easy. The reality is there will come some times in our lives that rather than complaining about how bad things are, you're just going to have to develop some get back, huh? Some resolve to just square up your shoulders and look the devil squarely in his eye, and you're going to have to face him, and you're going to have to call him who his name is and say, devil, it's going to take more than this. Amen. It's going to take a whole lot more. Matter of fact, you might want to use something a little extra, but watch your mouth. It's going to take more, come on somebody, than that. The past roughly 12 to 15 months have been challenging for a whole lot of people, dating back to probably the beginning of the primaries leading up to the election this past November the 8th, 2016, and all the way through 11:59 this past. Somebody know what I'm talking about. I need somebody in here with me. up until 11:59 this past Friday, January the 20th, taking all this time to think and commemorate at that time, the current POTUS and FLOTUS, if y'all don't know what that is, ask your neighbors, what's he talking about? They'll tell you. The current POTUS and FLOTUS. But then at 12 noon, we inaugurate the new POTUS and FLOTUS. To then have throngs of protesters gathered in multiple U.S. cities and abroad, and the new POTUS on the first day. And after result, even the new POTUS on this first day and second day of office, there's still angst and consternation. Suffice to say, it's been a difficult time period for a whole lot of people these past 12 to 15 months. But politics aside, life still happens for all of us. And there have been many that life has just happened over the past few days, weeks, and months. And some of us have been dealing with some stuff for quite a long time. As a matter of fact, if you wrote down everything you went through just in 2016, it would take a whole notebook, let alone, I ain't talking about her, I'm talking about all of us, let alone down through the years. Huh? I mean, you could have really probably should have lost your mind. Am I talking to anybody in here? You should have lost it by now, but guess what? You're still here. You could have thrown in the towel by now, Mayor Mason, but you're still here. Uh-huh. No, it hasn't been easy by any stretch of the imagination, but guess what? You're still here, and guess what? So am I. Come on, somebody. All of us, especially those of us trying and seeking to do God's will. We all dealing with or going through some stuff. What makes us who we are is nothing to do with our title. What makes us who we are has nothing to do with what we drive or where we live. Mm-mm. What makes us who we are is our resolve to tell the devil that we're not rookies at this thing. You don't hear me in here. Listen, the devil's still coming at me with some stuff. Yesterday, last year, yeah, last month, and I said, devil, I ain't no rookie. You might be trying to get brand new, but this ain't new for me, Doc. Huh? It's going to take more to break us than this. Huh? It's going to take more for us to walk away than this. It's going to take more to uproot us than this. I mean, we've all been at this thing a very, very, very long time, and we've seen God, come on somebody, we've seen God turn some situations around, and we believe in our spirit that God is and will continue to sustain us. And as a result, we've chosen to look to the hills. I ain't talking about Capitol Hill. Y'all got to get away from there. Y'all don't hear me in here. We look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Trials in this life are inevitable. I mean, it's one thing when you are outside of the will of God. I mean, when you're outside of the will of God, I mean, you kind of expect to have some trouble. I mean, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, but you know when you outside of the will of God. Yes. Stuff goes on, and then all of a sudden you say, well, you know, I know, haven't been doing right, thinking right, etc. right. So you understand when you might have some trials, but it's when you are in the will of God. It's when you are seeking to walk with obedience, when you are trying to do right. And then even with that, trials still come. That's when it becomes hard for us. Becomes real hard. Saying, Lord, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense, because you wonder why God takes us through this stuff and we are in his will, and yet you got neighbors and friends who are not in his will and look like they're doing just fine. Huh? I'm being honest up in here. I'm just being honest. We think because we're doing God's will, he would give us a reprieve, if you will, from trials. mean, like I said, it's one thing to have to deal with or go through trials when you're outside of his will. But when you're in his will, amen. I mean, I understand when you're outside, he'll use trials to get you back like the prodigal son. Use that thing to turn you around. But when you're in his will, when he takes us through, when we are obediently doing what he told us to do, like my man Job. I mean, the thing is, every now and then, I thought about it for a minute, Brown, and there are things that God will allow us to go through just because he knows that we still going to show up. Y'all don't hear me in here. We're going to still show up. See, God knows that despite what we are going through, that we're going to declare in the face of the enemy, enemy, devil, it's going to take more than that. Let me take us to our text. Amen. I want to begin by telling you that no matter how things may look, God is still with us. See, that should have got an amen, hallelujah from somebody. I'll say it again. Maybe that'll get you to shout up in here. No matter how things look right now, God is still with us. In the midst of your troubles, God is with you. In the middle of your trials, God is with you. In the midst of your storms, God is with you. In the midst of your depression and your downtroddenness, God is with you. Everything that we need, he is still with us. Amen. And we need to be aware. We're aware of everything else. We need to be aware that God is still with us. And wait a minute. Tell your neighbor. Tell a neighbor. He's still in control. Yeah, he's still in control. Amen. In our text. We find Paul, and you got to go back to the background of the text in Acts 27. In our text, we find Paul and some others. In our text, we find him coming out of the midst in Acts 28. But over in Acts 27, starting out in about the ninth verse, Paul, remember, had tried to warn the sailors, those who were in charge. Good God Almighty, you don't hear me in here. He tried to warn the sailors and those who were in charge. He said, don't set sail there because danger was ahead. The fact of the matter is, see, folk don't believe you. He said, because I've been warned by an angel. See, good God Almighty. Said, I've been warned by an angel. Here's what they, in essence, said to Paul. They said, look at here, Paul. Paul, I hear you, but you a tent maker. I need some Bible readers in it. They said, you a tent maker. We're sailors. They said, Paul, you talking about a storm, but there's not a cloud in the sky. Help me to preach, Holy Ghost. They said, wait a minute, Paul, you talking about a storm. Wait a minute, y'all don't hear me. They said, there's not a cloud in the sky. And wait a minute, Paul, the waters are still calm. Good God Almighty. But Paul said, there's a storm out on the ocean. And it's moving this whole way. God Almighty. Here we are in the book of Acts, chapter 28. And they found themselves as a result of doing what they still wanted to do. The Bible says they found themselves in the midst of a shipwreck. God Almighty. Those who had made it to shore. Even that's a testimony. Still going through a way that God tells you not to do, even with all your warnings. But God still keeps you. The Bible says they, in Acts 28, that they made it to shore. If you read Acts 27, you'll see that the number that made it to shore, Acts 27, 37, it says there were about 276 of them. The Bible says they were wet, miserable, and according to verse 2 in Acts 28, the natives on the island quickly gathered offshore to offer some assistance to the passengers in the ship, Verse 2 says, the native showed unusual kindness. For they kindled a fire and made us, wait a minute, and made us all, y'all don't hear me, and made us all welcome. Not a select few, not the elite. It said it made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Now, I can imagine that some of these natives, Dean Griffiths, even went into the water helping some folk who were exhausted, couldn't barely make it to shore on their own. Maybe there were some non-swimmers. Amen. Some were probably swimming and others were probably hanging on, according to some illustration, to some broken pieces. The Bible says they built a fire to warm the shivering survivors. I'm going to fix that too. And not only were the passengers chilled, the crew, everybody was cold and wet. Sometimes I don't care if it's your house, your job. Listen here, Captain. Y'all going to have to quit abandoning these ships. You're going to have to go down with the crew. Everybody. But even Paul himself was on the boat. Now remember, Paul has been through some stuff. He had already been talking about some stuff. And even Paul, here he is barely making it to the shore. And what I'm thinking, Brother Lampkin, is that Paul is saying, you know how you get sometimes. Woo! Good God Almighty. Listen, things can't get any worse. Huh? Things can't get any worse. I mean, well, you know what usually happens when you think that. Brother Booker, what happens when you think it won't get worse? What's going to happen? It gets worse. Mentioned Job earlier. You remember? Imagine how he felt. The Bible says he was perfect and an upright man. Sabaeans came and killed all the servants, took about 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 mules, fire afraid from heaven, took the sheep. The Chaldeans had the bands, took the camels. And just when he thought it couldn't get any worse, then they took his 7 sons, his 3 daughters. The eldest son's house, a great wind came and killed them all. But then on top of that, his health began to fail him. But through it all, he stayed faithful throughout. And I can hear Job saying, listen, it's going to take more than that. We all think we got it rough. I'm not even going to send you to Jesus on the cross. Look at Job. He said it's still going to take more than that. And of course, we know in the end, God restored him. And the Bible says it in a sense he got double for his trouble. So from Acts 27 through Acts 28, we find Paul thinking it can't get any worse. And he reminds us that he had been through some stuff. Amen. He's been through some stuff. Remember, he was once beaten 39 times for himself and for some others. See, he went through so that others could see how to go through their trials. So let me bring us in. I don't want to just talk about Paul. Let's talk about me and you. Huh? Because you'll sit there and fall asleep on Paul. Let's talk about me and you. Huh? The reason why we go through is so that others can see what we go through sometimes, because we need to understand that warfare is involved in your witness. And we're going to have to recognize that warfare is real. And every now and then, sometimes we got to fight for our blessing. You remember that movie War Room? You remember that line? The devil ain't here to play patty cake with us. Come on, somebody. He is here to destroy us and our witness. Better quit playing patty cake with the devil. He is here to steal, kill, and destroy. And out of all the devil throws at you and at me, one of the biggest weapons that he still has and that he uses is the weapon of discouragement. Amen. Can't take away from you what God has promised. Can't do that. He can't cause you to walk away. Y'all keep coming to church, huh? Come on, somebody. Keep coming Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday. Some of y'all dragging out of bed. Oh, God, it's a Sunday already. And you keep coming. He can't cause you to walk away or stay away. But even when you get to church, teach Holy Ghost, he can still keep you discouraged. Yeah. So much so that we are discouraged, and he makes you want to throw your hands up, not in surrender to God, but in surrender to your troubles and your trials. Somebody here right now is contemplating throwing in the towel. And if it's not you, you know somebody who wish they can just end it all. But I need to tell somebody, you need to see your opportunities and your problems as opportunities in disguise. Yeah. Amen. Write down the word challenge. It's a word game. Write down the word challenge. You got to know how to spell it. And if you don't, Google it. It's the only way this is going to work. You got to write down the word challenge. All right, this ain't on your screen, so don't look up there. This is for free. I'm giving this to y'all for free. I ain't gonna charge you for this. Write down the word challenge, and when you go home, I'm a word sleuth. I want you to look at it real hard. And inside of the word challenge, you're gonna find the word change. In your challenge, you're gonna have to make sure you're ready to make a change. All right? See, we got to understand trials are going to come. But your problems, you got to see them as opportunities in disguise. Isaiah, the 54th chapter, verse 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I say it again. It says, no weapon. That's why I had to talk about the weapon of discouragement. But the Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises up against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Yes, my brothers and my sisters, that's why I stand here to say, look here, it's going to take more than that. Satan, if you want to write something down, write this down. Satan wants us to lose focus on our assignment and focus on the assault. I just said something right there. Big picture. Watch the picture now. I said Satan wants us to lose focus on our assignment and focus on the assault. God Almighty. Jesus. Paul recognizes that all of us can grow weary. I don't know about you, but we can grow weary for giving to folk that don't give back. We can get weary of loving folk that don't love back. And the devil loves nothing more than to have you whining in a pity party and not doing what God has told us to do. See, it's time for us right here and right now to make a shift. It's time for us to make a shift, and we need to stop talking about what we're going through, and you start talking about what God told you to do. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you're just going to have to work a little hard, work not so hard. They say it takes more muscles to frown than to smile. Some of y'all working too hard right now. You're working too hard. Look at here. Every now and then you're going to have to smile, put a smile on your face through some adversity. Can I take a footnote right here for a moment? I'm going to put a quote in right here just for a moment. Watch this. Remember, before the shipwreck, there were over 270 plus folk in the boat. I'm about to fix it for somebody right through here. The wind, remember I talked about the wind before. The wind was so strong and brewing, and it was about to sink the ship. Some of y'all got your Bibles closed. Watch this. It was about to sink the ship. But in Acts chapter 27, the text says that they started throwing some stuff off the boat. God Almighty. They started throwing some stuff off the boat. They started throwing cargo overboard. Wait a minute. They thought by lightening the load that they might be able to survive. Here it is, what they thought they needed to carry to the next destination, they threw overboard. God Almighty. What they were carrying, hear me today, to the next port, they got rid of. Some of y'all said, I got new goals and resolutions in 2017, and you're still carrying baggage from 2016. Some stuff they thought they needed, they were getting rid of. Sometimes God will send a storm in your life to help us get rid of some stuff. Sometimes God will send a storm in our life to help us understand that we've been carrying around too much unnecessary stuff. Sometimes God will send a storm into your life to help us throw some stuff overboard or to lighten the load. Watch this, because he wants to help us arrive at our next destination. What am I about to say? Everybody can't go where God wants to take you. So I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's some bad relationships you're going to have to throw overboard. Huh? There's some circle of friends you're going to have to throw overboard. There's some hurts and some pains you're going to have to throw overboard. And the reason is God is trying to help you, help me, help us get to our next destination. Amen. I mean, to their credit, the inhabitants of Malta, they even built a fire to help warn the fugitives of the sea. I want to get back to that. I'm going to keep moving. I want to show you this too. Look here, church. I'm talking to the church now. Church, when the lost are led of the Lord to come through the doors of the church, teach Holy Ghost, we had better have a fire burning. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't hear me in here. Folk coming in cold. They coming in wet. We'd better have a fire burning, or else they're going to die of exposure from the outside by sitting on cold pews. Y'all don't hear me in here. Amen. We had better have the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in the altars, because some folk have been led of the Spirit, shipwrecked. We don't know what they've been through. We don't know how they got in here. But the Bible says even the inhabitants, they didn't even know who they were. They ain't say where you been. Huh? They ain't ask him, how'd you get all wet? Huh? But I'm going to go there too. Verse 3 says, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid it on the fire, the Bible says a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Gathering wood for the fire. He trying to, you know, you hear us from the old church, we always say bring a log. Huh? Well, he was trying to go get a log to throw on the fire, trying to gather some more wood. And the Bible says that a viper lying dormant among the sticks came to life. Y'all don't hear me. As Paul was trying to throw wood, God Almighty, on the fire. Oh, Jesus. Every now and then you trying to throw wood on the fire, and you might wake up a dormant viper who will try to tell you it don't take all that. And if you don't listen to that, they might jump up and just bite you. But look at Paul's reaction. The Bible says in verse 5, it just says, the viper is hanging on his hand. The Bible says he shook off. Shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. What I want you to not miss is that Paul, in a moment of panic, he flung the creature from himself, but he didn't do it without regard of folk around him. See, that's some stuff we want to, ooh, y'all don't hear me. We want to flee off. We don't care where it goes. We don't care who it endangers. But the Bible says that he had even that on his mind. I wish I'd had time to make that. Paul was even concerned. He's got a viper hanging on him. But he was even concerned about the folk around him. Listen, it says he shook off the serpent back into the fire. You remember what grandma says? Misery loves company. Come on, somebody. Folk not happy about their situation, they want everybody around them not to be happy. They're unhappy, they want everybody else to be unhappy. Folk act ugly and they don't realize, y'all don't hear me in here, that the effect of your ugliness is going to affect some folk around you. You ever had, I ain't talking about you, I'm talking about somebody else. You ever had a bug on you? Let me get one of them bugs. Y'all know y'all like, let me get one of them bed bugs. You ever had a bug on you? Huh? Or seen, or maybe it's a spider or something else. A bug get on you and folks start jumping around, pushing it off, and they don't care where it lands, if it lands on you or anybody else. But then, as a result of them throwing their mess on you, everybody. From one bug. I'm about to close this thing. It was a snake that talked to Adam and Eve into disobedience. And now here's Paul. And right about now, there's nobody in the world who is more passionate and effective at spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ than Paul. And what happens? Attack came. And where did the attack come from? It came from the pit of the fire. The serpent leaves the fire and he attacks Paul. And do you think that Paul is still, that the Satan is still attacking messengers today? And I would declare, yes, he is. Amen. And watch this. Watch the spectators at the event. They expected Paul to drop dead. You know, the impression I kind of get from Paul is that here he is with the serpent hanging on his hand. Well, and I get the impression that he didn't even flinch. My God, there's a serpent hanging on his hand. And I don't even get the impression that Paul even panicked. Amen. The Bible says he simply shook it off. Every now and then, you don't need to panic. You don't need to get upset. You just need to just do a little shaking it off. The Bible says, wait a minute, even though he shook it off. You know, folk, they're going to come up with a theological explanation for what happened to you. Amen. And so the Bible says that the observers stood and looked at Paul. And they said, there has to be an explanation. You know, folk see you going through, and they always want to have an explanation. God Almighty. They always want to have an explanation for what you're going through. And so they said, maybe we know he survived a shipwreck. And he was not drowned in the sea. But now he's bitten by a venomous serpent. Surely God must not want him to live. Undoubtedly, he must be a murderer. Folks see you going through stuff, and they know it's not the first time. They got the nerve to want to tell your story. And they say, he must be, she must be. And they label you something bad. They label you something wrong. They said he must be a murderer. But wait a minute. And the Bible says, and they looked. They were waiting on him to swell up. And they looked. There's some folk, they watch it come to church week after week after week, and they watching you, and they waiting on you to trip up. They waiting on you to fall. The Bible says they were waiting on him to fall and drop dead. God Almighty. Well, and they looked. But as a result of his miraculous deliverance, to the surprise of the natives, they now concluded that he must be a god. Amen. What I love about that, Griffith, is that it amazed me that the same folk just a little while ago who was calling you everything but a child of God, who was calling you out your name, labeling you about what they think you've been through, but what they think you've done, just give it a little while. Every now and then you tell some folk, tell them, I don't know who's sitting next to you, tell them, neighbor, God's not through with me yet. They need to know that. And in just a little while, the Bible says that Paul must be a god. It took just a few minutes. So you keep coming to church, because sometimes it takes just a couple of hours. You left the house frustrated. You left the house angry. You left the house mad. You said, I'm going to church. But then all of a sudden, you get inside the fire. Stuff is happening. Stuff is moving. You get back and the same folks say, he must be a god. No, they say, I know a god who can save anybody and do anything but faith. I'm not perfect. But you tell somebody it's going to take more than that. Call me what you want. It's going to take more than that. You can twist your face up like you want, but tell him it's going to take more than that. And you tell the devil, devil, you can mess with my money, but it's going to take more than that. I might swell up a little bit. Come on, somebody. I said I wasn't perfect. Come on, somebody. But surely it's going to take more than that. Some folk are still looking and looking and looking, and they have counted you out. Some may think that you and the church is going to die. They've seen the serpent attach himself to you, and they're looking and they're looking and they're looking. But I stopped by to tell the devil, to tell him, devil, it's going to take more than that, because no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It's going to take more than that. Some folk done gone and walked away from you and the church, but it's going to take more than that. Somebody said that you could not or you would not survive. They said the church wouldn't be here over 125 years, but it's going to take more than that. Some folk looking at you shaking their heads, but you tell them it's going to take more than that. And some folk might even want to leave and go join another church. That's all right, because it's going to take more than that. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You tell the devil to his face, tell him, devil, it's going to take more than that. The doors of the church are open. Come on, somebody.
To this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.